Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, we're back.
We are back.
Now, took a little bit of a break. And to be honest, I watched very little golf.
Hey,
it's, you know, Hawaii just doesn't do it for me. There was a lot of other stuff going on. So we'll touch on that and go through their bags as per usual. Mm-hmm. But a lot of other stuff going on in golf besides the Century Tournament of Champions, which John Rahm comes back after a mini gag from Morikawa. Like, I think I watched that one on, I think with 11 holes left, Morikawa had like a 7-shot lead. So they just clicked it on. Football was on. Playoffs. So I was like, oh, that one's done. And I like just scrolling through social media and I'm like, wait, what just happened?
Right. Oh. No, like that was incredible. And I don't know what to call it. You know, it's like some people are saying the Morikawa collapse, but
that's why I said it's more of a mini gag because John Rahm went kind of nuts on the backside, right? Yeah.
Here's the reality. It's a difficult golf course. I haven't played it, but I know people who have. It's like a 77 course rating on like a 146. So right. If you shoot even par out there, which I think is 71, you're essentially shooting like 5 to 6 under at a normal golf course. So like that alone, pretty solid golf, especially one, it's tournament conditions, so you got pressure, and it's the PGA Tour conditions, which make it a little bit more tough because the greens are lightening and the rough's a little bit thicker, and sometimes they narrow the fairways. But like here, that's the reality. Like it's not a bad score. It's just that Rahm went lights freaking out and shot 10 under, which is essentially like shooting 14 under on a regular golf course. So just consider that, right? Like
he did, but you can't with like, I mean, let's look at it exactly how far he was up with 9 holes up. I think he was had a 6-shot lead. It's mm-hmm. not, it wasn't that tough. Obviously, you get somebody who starts to go off, right? Who gets hot. Like Rahm did, but you can't, you know, you can't shoot 1 under, right?
So no, I mean, you can't.
And it wasn't even playing that firm. They were actually getting a lot, right? He birdies, but you can't bogey 3 straight and have one of those be a par 5.
No.
Right? To go 2 over on your backside, on the backside. I mean, Rahm does shoot 31. He shoots 6 under on the backside. So there's that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, you can't. He goes 6 under. You can't do what he did on that. So, I don't know. That's why I said it's a mini gag. There was a little bit of both on there, considering everyone else around him, right?
Uh-huh.
The lowest. So he was tied for the high. No. Ryan Brehm, who didn't even realize. Like, but Ryan Brehm, like, shoots 5 over. But other than that, he was the highest round of the day. Tied for the highest round of the day at 1 under par. You got John Rahm, who was 10 under, Tom Hoagie, who was 9 under, Max Homa, who was 7, Tom Kim, who was 5, right? So if he's just that, even if he's 4 under, like J.J. Spaun, he wins.
Yeah, and that's kind of medium, you know, middle of the road, if you were average that day and you shot three or four under, then he wins a tournament. So he was definitely not, I mean, he wasn't too far off from average, but he was definitely above average, which in golf term, when you're above, just not as good, but below average shooting lower scores. I don't know. It doesn't really make sense, but conversely, yeah, he just didn't perform as well as the average that day. And it had an impact. You know, and it just happens to be that Rom came back from like way out of the tournament.
Well, like I said, Rom going into the backside was 21 under.
Mm-hmm.
Where what's his face was 27 under. So he has a 6-shot lead with 9 holes to play. You shouldn't lose 6 shots. You shouldn't lose 6 shots in 9 holes. But he's done it before. Right? Didn't he do it last year somewhere? Same type thing? Because they were talking about it. And he did the same thing. Again, that's when I turned it off. So I was like, oh, this one's in the bag. Oh, whoops. Never mind.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oopsie. But, and yeah. Not even so
close.
Too bad for Morikawa, especially a guy who hits it as good as he does. Like, he shouldn't get in off that much, right? But stuff happens, just like Siwoo Kim coming back and shooting 6 under to win by 1. But
yep.
I mean, if you look at Hayden Buckley, who he overtook for that, everyone else around him was shooting 2 under, 2 under, 1 under,
mm-hmm.
you know, 1 under. And then there's a couple of, but it wasn't the drastic difference. Right. So Siwoo, I think, yeah, birdie's the last two to kind of get that win. And, you know, Hayden doesn't, but Siwoo gets him at the Sony at YLI. I mean, so it is what it is. Like I said, didn't watch probably 10 shots from this one is all. Like I said, Hawaii golf, it just, this field wasn't terrible, but it's never great, right? You get people, if they're going to go over there, they're going to go over there for the tournament champions, and then they're going to have a vacation. They've either had a vacation before or after, and then they're taken off so that they can catch the West Coast swing coming up starting this week and put some low numbers on the board, which American Express, we know, will be low numbers this week.
Oh, super low. And, I mean, if the weather holds up, I mean, I'm surprised California itself just hasn't washed away, but
it's trying.
Yeah, should be exciting though. I've always liked this tournament. Multiple courses, and it's just always nice. I dream of retiring out there because Palm Desert, there are more golf courses than houses. It's just
there's a lot of golf courses. But I have a hard time going somewhere where I'm gonna melt in the summer.
You know what? I'm okay with it. I am 100% okay. You're only a few hours away from the coast. It does suck that it's California and things are kind of going to pot, but there's a lot of golf courses and it never snows. So there you go.
This is true. This is true. But like I said, if you've got that, just put yourself in a position to winter there and then summer somewhere else, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So yeah, that Pinehurst is adding a 10th course. 10th, maybe.
I heard.
Well, Doak's doing a 10th course there. I've heard they have the land to do another course on top of that to go to 11.
Ooh, Doak is so hot right now.
Yeah, he does some good stuff. Hit them and Court Crenshaw. But I like that they're taking it back to like more traditional designs, right? Going away from, I mean, Dye's done some good things, but he's also just done some really bad things.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you see like he did some Bannon Dude stuff, didn't he, Doak? And was he part of Zach Blair's tree farm?
Yep.
There's some good stuffs.
Good stuff's coming out. Live Golf signs a TV contract with CW, reportedly.
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 I didn't know CW had a little sports presence. I mean,
well, they don't until now. Well, I take that back. There is some local sports stuff that goes on at CW here anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sports Illustrated is
yeah, there's all of them reported at Golf Digest, golf.com. Yeah. So I think it's pretty set. And it'll be more of a revenue share from what I was reading on. I pulled up one of them and basically I think the reason that they said the Fox deal, it just came down to the money part of it and how that was going to work is why this Fox deal fell through.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. CW, is that its own entity or is that like a branch? Okay, Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a branch of Warner Brothers, which is kind of interesting because in some regards, Warner Brothers content is owned by HBO, which is AT&T. I mean, they're all connected. It's like a whole right. conglomerate. But there is very little sports content that's highlighted on their website. But that said, their content is really geared towards a very young generation. Like I'm kind of a hip 40-year-old, but I am not watching shows on the CW. That I can tell you.
Well, so, it's a lot of syndicated stuff, right?
It's revamps. It's kind of the new age stuff, like a little bit of horror movie here, Sleepy Hollow. Then yeah. There's some DC comic stuff.
I'm looking at their shows right now. Yeah, you got like All Americans, Dog. So it's
90210 redo.
It's teeny. It's teenagers.
Stuff. It's teenagers, which is fine. I mean, I think that's great. But man, you've got like. If you're going for a target audience, this is how you do it.
Right? Get them. Get them young.
Get them. I think it's interesting. So we'll see. If they do lock it up, kind of a bummer because I really did enjoy just streaming it from YouTube. So I'm hoping there's still will. Some.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll still do some of that stuff.
They may have like a. I mean, there was enough streams, right? But maybe they put a membership on it, like $5.99 a year or a month, and you can have, which I'm okay with too. So
yeah, it'll be interesting once that all comes out. But that new equipment launches, which I don't know if we've talked about any. I don't think we have talked about any of this stuff yet. The Callaway Paradigm.
Right. Yeah, I mean, let's dive into Paradigm. What do you know?
Cut face. They put cut face on their driver.
Yeah.
From that. It looks good. I haven't hit it yet. It looks good. And they did come out with a new cog. So they've got a tour cog that flattens it out. Mm-hmm. Which then in turn makes it seem not so closed, which is was a big thing that I really didn't like about the Rogue ST. But it looks very similar, especially kind of top and bottom to the Sim. with that crown and then the kind of channel down on the back, but it just has the same technology. They added cup face, so same stuff, right? Same stuff. They've still got the jailbreak, but then they added cup face just for more forgiveness. And then
yeah, a
different look. And you know, as always, Callaway's stupid color schemes on there.
You don't like the drivers. Bowling ball?
Oh my gosh. their head covers may be the ugliest head covers ever, but they just like they come out with that and it's like the paradigm. And it's like, no, you don't have to do that stuff. You really don't. So,
well, the problem is they're running out of names, right? So they have to like say a very common word, but they have to spell it different so they can copyright it.
Yeah. Exactly.
And there is quite a bit of tech into it. I mean, it's not that they're making a bad driver. They're just mixing it up. And no. Callaway has used blue in the past with their Great Big Bertha lines dating all the way back to Great Big Bertha Steelhead 2, even.
Yeah.
And so I guess it's one of their colors for sure. I mean, everybody got mad at TaylorMade for doing the red stealth, but now people are like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. So there. And you got the TaylorMade Stealth 2.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at it, I saw it. I still haven't hit that one yet either. Just have had him in hand. Like, besides the color scheme, it doesn't look like they did much to it.
Well,
I don't know. Like, you may have dove in more. I haven't talked to the rep.
Just from face value, like looking at it, well, first of all, I cracked the code for these companies. It's hilarious. They do a TikTok release.
Yeah.
And the tick is they focus on distance. So they take the MOI away. They really put a low spin driver head in. So the ball goes super far. And then the next year on the talk, they do a more forgiving driver with more MOI and more spin. So what they say every year is, this is the longest driver we've ever made. It's way longer than last year's. And then the next year, this is the most forgiving driver. It's way more forgiving than last year's. But then guess what? The next year, they do a long one. This is way longer than last year's. Oh, this is way more forgiving. And they just kind of play this balance game between each other. And so, and I don't know Callaway's enough to know
they do the same thing.
Yeah, they do the same thing, but I don't know if Paradigm this year is the long one or if it's the more forgiving one.
Shoot, I don't remember.
I don't know. But I know that for TaylorMade, the Stealth.
I want to say it's a long one because it's
the Stealth 2.
It falls in line with the Epic releases, which have always been the longer of the ones, right? The Rogue is always the
more forgiving.
So
the Stealth 2, they definitely added more carbon and they were able to get more weight in the back for more forgiveness. You know, the question is, can it be just as long, but also more forgiving? It's really hard to bump the MOI up when you have a driver that maybe has a CG that's lower than neutral access and it's, you know, has super low spin.
And I think where they're getting away with saying that is because if you start doing this where your miss hits go further, so now average is going to be longer.
And that could be the case, but on pure shots, I mean, with all drivers, pure shots within the last 3 to 4 years are all going to go to the same distance.
Yeah, can't go too much further.
really can't. And the reality of the driver industry now, especially amongst the big five, they have some amazing teams and engineers working on these things. But the goal is get 1% better. And if you can get 2% better, that's even nicer. But like, if you can get 1% better every year, then when that 5-year mark rolls around, there actually is a comparable difference between that 5-year-old driver and the new one.
Right.
And who knows what people's, you know, refresh rates are for drivers. Mine's typically 3 to 4 years. Some guys are like 8 years, right? But right. Obviously the tour players are like, you can get me 1% better. All right, I'll take it. Because 1% to them is like, could be $500,000. So,
yeah.
But it'll be interesting. I want to try them all for sure. We'll have to do driver testing 2023.
Yeah, we'll definitely. We'll make that happen. Just because, like I said, it's there. Like I said, the only one that I've really hit from this new setup has been the G430. Mm-hmm. And it looks really good, and it feels way more like, I mean, you haven't been able to get the G400 out of my bag for a long time, right?
There's like 4 iterations between, so.
And this two, 410 and the 425. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, that's a good 5, almost probably 6 years that you haven't been able to get it out of my bag, and it just has performed better. And this one's got the weighting, and a lot of it has been the weighting, but this one looks a little bit more compact again. You know, say what you will about the color scheme that people don't like comparing it to Cobra, but, and that one launched too, actually. The Cobra Aero.
Yeah, the Aerotech.
Aerotech. So there's, you know, obviously it's the time for it, but like I said, that's the one.
That one kind of confused me, and I haven't looked into it as much as I probably should, but the one thing that I loved about Cobra was that they had like a 100% milled face ever mm-hmm. since like the F8 driver. So the F8, F9, and then there was some other iterations, but there were these amazingly milled faces. And I thought that thing was going to stick around, but guess what? Aerotech comes out and
Aerojet.
Aerojet. Ooh. But
it's like taking off.
I'm guessing the backside of it is CNC milled because everybody's kind of doing that now, where you CNC mill the back, so it's precise, but the face looks like it's hand finished.
It doesn't look, milled again.
It is not milled.
It is not milled.
Uh-uh.
They got carbon top, bottom. Yeah, I'll have to, because like I said, this one, they really just, which is funny, because they usually put in a little bit more into the marketing side of it, but They don't
have many players these days to market it.
No.
I think somebody did sign with Cobra, but now that you've got Bryson. Oh, who was that signed?
Gary Woodland.
Gary Woodland, yeah. So he's kind of like their marquee player now. Because Bryson DeChambeau's with Liv, and obviously there's some tensions between Liv players and equipment contract sponsorships, which is really interesting.
So yeah. They did the hot face, which is AA designed, which is basically they just ripped off Callaway.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, and maybe their AI was different. So yeah,
it's probably different. Theirs was the wave. I don't know what they.
But they've also kind of followed Callaway, and they've created this little semi jailbreak bar across the bottom.
The bottom, yes.
Of the face. So there is some of that, and I obviously need to get some more deets on it, but
yeah,
we're starting to see some similar technologies that are going across the board.
Power Ridge, what they're calling it.
The key here is like what technologies carry from year to year, because then you know that's a technology that actually works, right? And so Callaway's jailbreak clearly is a technology that's working. Their AI face is clearly a technology that's working, especially when you see other companies start to do the same thing. But also carbon soles, like everybody's got carbon on their sole now. They're like trying to put carbon everywhere.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty interesting to see all that start to go down.
Oh, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, and then Titleist, on their schedule, they're launching their TSR 2 and 3 hybrids, right?
Yeah.
They usually launch them just a little bit after their fairway woods because they coincide more with the iron releases.
Yeah.
But now it sounds like
And
they're kind of doing it on their own because they're not coinciding with either. They're going on their own track now.
Titleist has a lot of staff players on tour,
Yeah.
which helps them win this category, but they are consistently the most played fairway wood on tour. But tongue in cheek, they have a lot of staff players.
Yes, this is true. And then supposedly, and I only saw pictures, but didn't dig into it. Kirkland getting into the iron game.
Oh,
Question
and
mark.
I know a little bit about this.
Is it
Yeah,
actually
so
happening?
well, I mean, if it's on the USGA,
I don't know.
then
Did it go into the USGA or did somebody just post a picture of it?
so maybe somebody posted a picture, but the golf company that's making them is called
Yep.
Indie Golf. And I've done a little work with them. They came out with some wedges that kind of, they have two types of wedges, a full groove face wedge for both categories. One of them is just like optimal spin that's legal, and they also make illegal wedges with just tons of grooves that will rip the cover
Just
off the ball.
spin the heck out of it.
Which I think is great. Like, just because the USGA says you can or can't do something shouldn't dictate how you make equipment for people that will never play any USGA event.
Yes.
So,
So, yep.
yeah,
But yeah,
cool stuff.
the Kirkland signature. So
Which I think
it's.
is great. I mean, they're mixing it up. I mean, the next step is signing a tour player to play their golf clubs.
Well, and as we will get to here later, they started. There's a boutique company out there that started small. Started to get into some fitting shops, then pulled actually back and went direct, and then signed probably, well, he was the top player on the senior tour this latest year.
He was.
And then he signed a couple, which we'll discuss later here. But yeah, they're in the iron game now and that and so. And then going back to the Century Tournament Champions, JT put his old 2005 303 Newport 2 350 gram back in the bag. It didn't help.
No, it didn't, but it was cool to see,
Yeah.
some of the
Well,
oldies
I take that back. Well,
gains,
let's see exactly
how well it did.
how well it did. Well, I'm just gonna get statistics. See full player statistics. Oh, is it gonna pull up crap? Yep. Maybe it. I just want it for that one. So we're gonna go back. Find him again. See his statistics. Yeah. Oh, it doesn't even give strokes gained putting. Nice for the final round, anyway.
Well, they can't get their equipment out there.
So, no, it didn't really help because I
I'm
don't
just
have a
gonna take
full.
a quick look at the leaderboard, but yeah, JT.
Considering he had two bogeys.
He was minus 15 for the
Yeah.
tournament. Which
But he
was
hit almost 78% of the greens or 83% of the greens for the week. So he did not putt well.
no,
No.
not at all.
So yes, it did not help.
Yeah.
At least this week. Or at least that week. But he's always, I've always liked it. Yeah. So maybe he'll go back to just his 5.5s.
Maybe. Maybe. And that's the thing. Some of these guys, I think everybody's game is balanced one way or the other, but like with JT, he's a very pure ball striker. And what, like, kind of like a Morikawa thing, where if he gets hot with putting, it's lights out.
Yes. So it's just maybe just had a wild hair, wanted to putt with the old stick for a little bit. But it's what he did, and it didn't help. But like I said, didn't watch much, so I don't have a ton to base it on besides just where he finished, what his greens and regulation percentage was.
Yeah, I mean, the one finish that us Utah folk like to see, Tony Finau tied for seventh out there at the Tournament of Champions, so yeah, that was pretty nice.
And he'll be back playing this week. So, yeah, that'll be good. But, you know, just like always, all this year seems like there's a lot more people that switched. Not a ton of big names, though, that moved. Woodland signs with Cobra, like we talked about. The biggest one is Nelly Korda switching both apparel and clubs. So going with TaylorMade for the club contract and Nike with the apparel contract. Nike did also pick up Tom Kim, taking advantage of that hot.
Yeah.
But that Wilson trying to make a splash signs Kisner and Tremolinex.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. Well, who was Kisner with before? Was he with Callaway?
Yes, I want to say he was with Callaway. I think so. Yeah. I can't remember who Molinax was with, though.
I think he was with Ping.
I actually think you're right. So, I mean, not huge names, like I said, of the ones. Nelly Korda is obviously the biggest name of them all, and she's an LPGA Tour player. Not any slight there, because she's probably the most marketable LPGA Tour player out there right now. On that. But then, like I said, we talked about Jez Reavy and Ryan Moore. Obviously not big signs, but signed with New Level, who signed drawing a blank on his name. Who was the best?
Steven Alker.
For the senior tour champions tour, or PGA tour champions, whatever they want to call it. But they're getting some representation out there as far as that goes. So we'll see how that plays out for those guys. I don't know. It's weird because, you know, Chez in his his bag for Q School was phenomenal. It was like a menagerie of, like, I think he had like a 15-year-old, like 20-year-old three wood in there. It was nuts.
That's interesting. I mean, they obviously are strong with their irons, New Level Golf, but they're trying to get into the wood business. In fact, I saw a sneak peek of their driver. I don't think they have a chance. It's like
the wood game is hard.
It is so hard. And like, I mean, consider this, like, there's the big five, obviously. And some of them are billion-dollar companies and some of them aren't.
Right.
And their R&D people, it's like they all know each other. Why? Because they're jumping between the companies and it's like rotating. And those guys are just, they know what's up. They've got tons of patents around the technology that they're doing. For you to try to come into the game now and compete, you have to like infringe on patents and, you know, or decide to invest multi-millions of dollars into R&D to create your own stuff, which is just, it's too hard. It's too hard.
Yeah.
So,
like I said, irons you can do and you can do well, a lot easier. And
yeah,
like I think a company like New Level, just stick with irons, man. Do it, good, make good stuff, totally. And you'll do fine. Like say, once you start going into the wood realm, you kind of get smoked, and you're gonna spend a lot of money to do it too, right?
Well, and it's kind of like the more simple you get with your design, the more you can compete with the big guys.
Yeah.
And the way I liken that is just to me making putters. I can't compete with Scotty on the Phantom X line or Odyssey with their insert technologies. I can't do it. But I can make a CNC milled 303 putter. And guess what?
And a really good one.
Well, thank you.
A really good one.
But the reality is the product that I make actually competes with their higher end line.
Yes.
Right.
And some of it, yours is your engineering and the design of it, right? Functionality. Yeah. I mean, functionality with
aesthetics.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you take New Level and they're kind of doing the same thing. You give them a forge blade perspective and a forged cavity perspective, and they're going to compete with Titleist and Callaway in that realm, right?
Yes.
But nobody's really going to compete with a T100 when they're fresh into the iron game, right? You've got to like build some chops there and do some really good R&D to get that stuff there. You can't just go use some pre-made R&D over in Taiwan and hope it's going to compete with a Titleist T100 or a Srixon, you know, multi-material, or maybe like a TaylorMade P790. I mean, those things are just engineered to perfection. So that's a really hard thing to compete. But like I said, the more simple it is, the easier it is to compete. So a lot of people will be doing wedges and putters and irons. But the second you get into fairway woods, hybrids, all that stuff.
Oof. There's a lot of other stuff that goes into those. Let's just keep it at that. A lot of other stuff. One guy who did not get a new deal actually got rid of his deals or out of his deals was Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah.
Ditched both Titleist and Hugo Boss. So.
Yeah.
I think he had like, what did you say? He had a ping. Did he have a ping driver when he was what you looked up?
Oh, but I think he was testing some ping woods for sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was testing the new G430 driver. And that was it from the ping side. He's still playing his Titleist fairway woods. He's got the old 9-something 15 in there, like it's super old. And then he has a TSR 7 wood, but and still that 718 AP2 Titleist irons. I mean, we've got over this. He barely changes anything in his bag. Yeah, he's just testing a new driver. Still has the TSR 3 as the driver, but the G430 is getting some reps. I don't know if it'll make the bag, but he had two of them in there that he was testing. So,
yeah, like I said, he'll test. He's hard. Which is one of the things that was kind of crazy that he did ditch him as a sponsor is because we talked about this. He doesn't like to change very often.
Yeah.
Him just going free agent is interesting. So,
and maybe that was part of it. Like, maybe it wasn't that he said later Titleist. It was like Titleist was like, hey, we'd like you to play some more current equipment. You know, your irons are 5 years old now. You have our contracts require within 2 years or 3 years or something.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I'm out. And you know, bummer or whatever, but he's still playing SM7 wedges.
Yeah.
Which came out like 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. So
it's crazy. But
yeah.
He's there. So now we're going to go into the wonderful world of what's in the bag.
Yes.
And we'll do it for John Rahm.
Our tournament of champion winner.
Yes.
He went lights out. So as a Callaway figurehead, he's got all the new paradigm stuff in the bag, from driver to three wood to five wood. His lofts are pretty traditional, I'd say. His driver's at 11.3, so that tells you one thing. If a guy like John Rahm with his speed is playing an 11 degree driver, that thing is a very low spin beast.
Yeah. Yeah, he turned a 10.5 up to.
Yep.
But he's always kind of had a low ball flight. So my guess is it's once they put him in this with the new ball, they probably dropped it down and he's like, whoa, I need to get that up, boys.
Yep. Yeah.
He's like, I like the flight. But we need to get that up a little bit.
He's got the new 3-wood in a 16 set to 15. So that's pretty cool. And then he's got the 5-wood, and it's also another thing where he's turning it down a little bit.
Yeah.
That one not so much on the 5-wood, but on the 3-wood, 1 degree turn down. For me, and maybe it's just a mental block, but if a fairway wood can be added with loft, I never like to do that. And it has nothing to do with what the face angle does. It tilts the back end of the fairway wood down. And for me, I feel like I'm going to drop kick that thing every single time. If you add loft and it drops the trailing.
Yeah. Take it off. So it looks like the toe drop, right? Looks like it flattens out, which like I said, and he may have, because if he's got it to that, right. Like I talked about the paradigm, they did available to the public. Now you have to ask for it, but you can get the Tour cog, the Tour adapter, which flattens it out. That's available to him. So yeah, I went with the paradigm, but he keeps his Apex TCBs in there, 4-through pitching wedge, and then the jaws forged. And I think he's had those in there for the same thing. He's got his Project X 6.5s in there.
Yep.
And his trusty Rossi putter.
He's been gaming that for a long time now.
Won the U.S. Open with it.
I think the one thing to highlight on his, a big change for him, the clubs that he took the longest to settle into were his wedges. But he's definitely, he's got Roger Cleveland grinding them for him. So if anybody knows wedges, it's Raj. But he does a pre-worn leading edge. It gives a little bit more relief when conditions are soft or you decide to get a little bit steep with it, but it's quite versatile.
And he's got a bigger pre-worn leading edge, because they do have a slight pre-worn leading edge on them, the new ones. A buddy of mine is on staff with them. So I was looking at his the other day, and they do have a slight pre-worn leading edge on them already, but he's definitely more aggressive with the pre-worn leading edge on that.
And that's a deliberate pre-worn leading edge.
Yes. Yeah. That's That's not the, your basics.
There's no diddle daddling right there. But and if you know, I mean, you've been playing it. I kind of converted you to the the pre-worn, and you've been rocking it. So
yes, now I just need to get me a little bit bigger grind one with the pre-worn leading edge, so that I can play in some of the mushy conditions that sometimes you get around here.
Yeah,
depending on where it is, just so I can swap it out every once in a while. But yeah,
I actually, my 56 has it, but I just switched to a 60 degree that does not, and I might suffer from it, but we'll see.
Yeah, like I said, my 54 has it, my 58 has it. So yeah, it'll be, like I said, I just need to get a little bit. I almost just want to like get a S grind and do some work to it to get it to where it needs to be. But yeah, so like I said, changed the top of his bag, bottom of his bag, not so much.
Yeah,
on that,
not so much. And then yeah, that jumps us to the Sony winner, Siwoo Kim. And what's in his bag? Also another Callaway staffer.
They're two for two.
Callaway is undefeated in 2023.
is Callaway going to be this year? Because Titleist was... got a lot of wins last year.
They dominated. But yeah, maybe Callaway is the year. But yeah, this guy's got Paradigm through the bag from driver, 3-wood, 5-wood. Very similar setups. He's got Ventus. So Venice Black 6x in the driver, then 8x in the 3-wood and 9x in the 5-wood.
Yeah.
And
wow.
And tip
2 inches.
I mean, I'm not in horrible shape and I'm not weak by any means, but man, I look at an 8x in the 3-wood and I start sweating. like 7x is max.
Well, and but, just tip that much. So he took it and he just, yeah, he put a telephone pole. He does not like to feel any
weaving
in that shaft.
Not at all. But then in the irons, he's got the Callaway X forged CDs.
Yep.
So
which, a little which bit are different. Very, yeah, they're similar to the TCBs, but a little different with the KBS Tour V125. Again, like I said, a little bit, they're heavier. You know, my guess is their X is tipped a little bit. But he keeps that same thing and goes jaws raw. But he only goes 54-60. So he can see, he throws a 3-iron in there. He's got to take that club out somewhere, especially since a lot of these guys are now carrying, as we see, 5-woods. Got to take a club out somewhere. And his is obviously, my guess is his pitching wedge is 47, but still a bigger gap than most people.
Let me double check.
Does this have his?
Not on Golf WRX, but
the John Rahm that has it, his at 47. So my guess is that's where it was, unless he went really weak to take. He didn't want any offset in those. And took him to 48 or 49.
Yeah, but I want to see if there's any additional news. I'm searching. I want to know the loss too, because those irons are typically quite strong.
They're, I think, 45, 46. Maybe they're might. No, I think they're 46. The CX4 CB. I think they're more traditional.
I don't have any data on it yet. No, I thought it'd be at Callaway.com, but they don't have anything on it.
They're not going to give you that info. Come on, man.
Not but today, but folks.
But it is it's funny, right? Because you have all the information you got here, but then they gave you the information for the drivers, but then it's just like basic information for everything going down. Yeah. On that, yeah, the pitching wedge 45. So, yeah, so even if there, he's probably went to 47 tops with that. And so he's got a 7 degree gap. Well, it's what he likes, it's what works. It got him a win. And then he's got the Odyssey 2-ball long putter. Went long and then playing the Callaway Chrome Soft X. So.
Two ball prevails, the ugliest yet most effective putter in the history of golf.
You would know.
And I know, because I've made a lot of money with a two ball, and
Well, not
I
only
am
that,
not
it's ugly, but then
ashamed.
he made it long, so he made it uglier.
Yeah, he made it super duper ugly, but don't knock it until you tried it.
He's got a PGA Tour win with it, so I'm not gonna knock it.
It's great. It's great. Yeah, but so congrats to Callaway. We'll see what happens here. There, the American Express. This one's gonna be fun. There's just a lot of people. There are a few marquee players, but it's not chock full of them. And so I'd say it's
I
like
always get a dozen or so
it's
that
a
are.
B plus tournament. And it's so we'll see. Maybe Callaway can prevail again.
It would, it's, yeah, possibly. There are some staffers out there, so it'll be interesting. But I think that's it. Like I said,
That
we'll come
is.
back after. Now it's going to be in the desert. Not as late, so maybe I'll watch it, but I don't know. It's still running up against the NFL playoffs, which is
Never a good thing.
never a good thing. But yeah, glad to be back. A lot of stuff going on, and we may have a new live schedule coming out this week. They got to do it
Ooh.
soon. Their first tournament's the 24th of February, so in month-ish. So they got to come out with the remainder of the schedule sometime soon, and then
Yep.
get all that stuff squared away. So we'll be looking forward to that. And then other than that, it's cold here, wet, rainy, snowing at times. So they'll see you in warm weather. Go enjoy it. But till next time, we're out.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Birdies and Bogeys. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and until next time, have a great week.